San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 18, 2021. Today's lesson is Free to Love with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a little muggy out there, but it is a beautiful July morning. It truly is. And I am so thrilled to be here. You know, some of these lessons just kind of write themselves. I'll be reading something and I'll go, oh, that should be in the Free to Love talk. Or I'll pick something for the month of freedom and I try to plug it into every lesson and it just doesn't fit until it does. And we have that today. So let's just anchor ourselves in this eternal, infinite truth that we know. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call that God, the living spirit almighty. One indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And this is the truth that we are anchored within. This is the truth of who we are, of what we are, of what the universe is, of what all of creation is. And we are all part of all of creation. So, the first thing I want to tell you this morning is love is a quality of God. We all know that. Love is a quality of God. In fact, let me open up the front cover of my book where I keep my list of qualities of God. And it says, the self-givingness of God to its creation, affection, devotion, unselfish concern that freely accepts another and seeks his or her good. So love is a quality of God. Being loving is a choice. Being loving is a choice. And I'm sure all of us have seen people who have made that choice to either be loving or not in any given moment. When people choose to not be loving in any given moment, do you know who hurts? The person making the choice to not be loving. It takes so much energy to go against what our natural state is. And our natural state is love. It is being at ease. It is being at peace. And so when we come up against an opposing energy, we have the opportunity to try and fight against it or to simply let it be and not let it disturb us. Now, if we're letting it be and not letting it disturb us, are we expending energy? No. If we're fighting against it, are we expending energy? Yes. And it's throwing us off our natural balance. So this is the month of July, and as Noble mentioned, our theme is freedom. The theme for the entire year for 2021 is and has been living in faith and wisdom. Living in faith and wisdom. So each month we have a different theme that we focus on that allows us this whole year of experiencing living in faith and wisdom. And the way we're going about that is we are following along by date, by month and date, in the 365 Science of Mind book by Ernest Holmes. So for today, July 18th, there are several key points that he makes in his writings. He says, love is the lodestone of life. It's the treasure of the earth and the highest gift of heaven. And we all wish to feel that we are kept in the arms of love, protected by its shelter and warmed by its feeling. But some might ask, how do we really know that the universe rests on the shoulders of love? How do we know? I mean, who said it first? Are we making it up? Good question. Well, the answer is simpler than it might appear, because no one is ever harmed by love. Love is the lodestone of life. No one is ever harmed by love. The more love there is in our life, the better off we are. While the opposite to love, which is hate and dislike, can actually consume us mentally and destroy our health physically. If then love builds up, while its opposite destroys, we may be certain that there is a universal reality to it, and that we are immersed in an infinite love as well as a divine wisdom. And we must learn to feel the presence of it and to rely on it. So love is the lodestone of life. No one is ever harmed by love. Love builds up while the opposite destroys. We need to learn to feel the presence of love and rely on it. Rely on it, not on what we see with our eyes, but what we know is the truth. Love freely flows and is freely returned. That's where our quote from this morning comes from. My love goes out to everyone, and I know that it is returned from everyone. Overlooking everything that might seem to deny this divine beneficence, I trust that the infinite love will guide and protect me in everything. I'd like you to take a look at your programs. And the icon that we have for today is a little picture that says, let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. And we learn from 365 Science of Mind, as I counsel my own soul to show forth this love in such a manner that it shall embrace and warm the heart of humanity, bringing confidence and trust and faith and hope to everyone it touches. To everyone it touches. Love goes out before us and makes the way plain and happy. Makes a smooth road. It makes for smooth sailing. It doesn't have the kind of turbulence of potholes and speed bumps and whirlpools in the water and stormy seas. That's not what love is. Love makes everything easy. And so the more we stay in our awareness of love, the easier our life is. So my question for you this morning is, would you like to let go of false belief, limitation, judgment, and fear, and allow yourself to be absolutely free to love? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So place your hand over your heart and affirm with me. Today.
Today.
I open my heart to divine love.
I claim my oneness with divine love.
My love flows freely
and is freely returned.
I am free to love. And so it is.
And so it is.
So simply breathe.
Breathe and know that you are absolutely free to love. To love everything, every circumstance, everything that seems like an obstacle. It's not. It's just standing there saying, can you love me? Can you see the divine in me? Can you see beyond this external tumult and distortion of truth? Can you see beyond that? Well, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But whenever we see something that comes right up in our face and doesn't look like love, what that is for us is an opportunity to remember that God is all there is. Love is all there is. Here's another expression of God disguised as something we don't like. Disguised as something inconvenient or as an obstacle. It's disguised as that. Because we know the truth is all is love. All is absolutely love. A friend of mine who is also my brother's former minister when he lived in Simi Valley is named Reverend Dr. Dennis Merritt Jones. He has a doctorate in divinity, just like me. But he's published. He writes books. He writes songs. He performs. I don't do that so much. Definitely don't perform. Definitely don't write music. When I write songs, I have somebody else fill in the notes for me. I hum it and they write it down. Well, he wrote a book called How to Speak Science of Mind. The original book was How to Speak Religious Science. But of course, we as an organization decided that we were uncomfortable with the true name that we had by our founder, which is Religious Science. And so, for a more modern, open-minded approach to people, it was changed to Science of Mind. Or it was changed to Centers for Spiritual Living, and we don't say Religious Science anymore, we say Science of Mind. Which is okay. Because it is all science of mind. It truly is. Anyway, he wrote a book, How to Speak Science of Mind. Nice, cute little book, huh? Okay. And on page 57, he writes about love. And his question is God the essence of love? He writes, quote, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love, end quote. And that is 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. He writes, the science of mind, Ernest Holmes, states, love is the self-givingness of the spirit through desire, through the... In the science of mind, Ernest Holmes states, quote, love is the self-givingness of the spirit through the desire of life to express itself in terms of creation. Love is a cosmic force whose sweep is irresistible, end quote. And then Dennis says, love is the highest vibration in the universe. Nothing can withstand its embrace. The opposite of love is fear. The light and vibration of love, in the light and vibration of love, the darkness of fear cannot exist. To know God's presence is to experience unconditional love. To see the presence of God in others is to love them. Unconditional love is always the answer. Another thing that I want to share with you is from the Divine Science Daily Study. Today happens to be Dr. Vernon Shields' birthday, even though he's not around anymore. But it's his birthday, July 18th. And something he wrote really touched my heart. So I wanted to share it with you. Here's what he wrote. You are a child of God. You are here to claim the good that God has prepared for you. You are an expression of God's nature and are here to bear witness to this truth. God indwells you as your own identity or real nature, your true self. God indwells you as your true self. He wrote, "You are the light of the world," as Jesus said, "and you are to let your light shine right where you are, so that any darkness or negative thinking might be dispelled or dissolved." Any darkness or negative thinking will be dispelled or dissolved. You know why it's going to be dissolved? Because it's not truth. It's not real. The truth is unconditional love. The truth is you are spiritual. The truth is you are the expression of the divine. And so nothing can stand against that truth. No matter how our human eyes and our human conditioning make it, no matter how powerful they make it seem, it's not real. It's not the truth of who we are. One of the things we know is how enjoyable and pleasurable love is. It is the givingness, the openness, the sharing. Everybody give me a big smile. Did that hurt? No. No, it felt good. Because it's a good thing to do, to be your true self, to let your light shine. Love is wanting for others what we want for ourselves, which is freedom. Freedom to explore opportunities and to pursue our own version of happiness. I don't have to pursue your version of happiness. That doesn't make you wrong. That makes your version of happiness unique. You don't have to pursue my version of happiness. You probably wouldn't like it because mine's unique. But there is a common thread here, and that is choice. We have the opportunity to take advantage of and embrace our absolute ability that we are free to love here, now, always. Love is not enabling. Enabling reinforces dependency. Enabling takes away your freedom. And enabling is destructive. When someone comes to you and says, "If you love me, you would thus and such," that is not true. We love them no matter what we do. If we buy into the we have to prove our love by doing what they are asking or demanding of us, that's enabling. We are enabling them to continue on in their false belief, in their negative patterns, in their inability to accept others as they are.
If you loved me, you would have taken me to the fair. If you loved me, you would have bought me a pony. If you loved me, you would give me money for drugs. If you loved me, you would let me beat you. We do not have to prove our love to anyone, certainly not by enabling unhealthy behaviors. If you loved them, you would want for them what you want for yourself, and that is the freedom to explore their own opportunities without harming anyone. Without harming anyone. Because love is not harmful. No one is ever harmed by love. Love builds up. And every time I say that, I think of that Corinthians in the Bible. Love is not puffed up. Love is kind. Love is, you know, we use it at weddings, and I just can't recall all of it right now, but it's useful. Now, here's a practical way to put what I've just said into play. Love is not enabling. Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and he can feed himself for a lifetime. If you loved me, you would give me a fish. Because I love you, I will teach you to fish. Sit here and eat this fish while I'm teaching you to fish. We are free to love. We are free to love everyone and everything. We are free to love beauty, music, nature, breathing, peace, exhilaration, which usually increases our breathing rate and our heart rate. We are free to love scents, smells, tastes, textures. There's this tie-in with the taste and texture and smell of food that when you put it in your mouth, they all three have to work together. You can't put something that smells great and has a great flavor into your mouth if it has a texture that your mouth refuses. Did you know that? I know that. I have been unable to eat oatmeal all my life. It has been forced upon me, but the texture of oatmeal in my mouth, I just can't swallow it. I can eat oatmeal cookies, though. We are free to love our country. And so this is the thing that I knew that sometime this month I was going to include in all these lessons on freedom. And this is where it came out. We are free, simply free, to love. We have this thing called the Pledge of Allegiance. But more than just the Pledge of Allegiance, we also have this guy called Red Skelton. And he's an actor, an artist, a comedian, really, really a funny guy and a great guy. But every now and then he would get serious. With this, he got serious. It's his commentary on the Pledge of Allegiance. I have seen a video of him doing this in the 1950s. As a schoolboy, one of Red Skelton's teachers explained the words and meaning of the Pledge of Allegiance to his class.
Skelton later wrote down and eventually recorded his recollection of this lecture. It's followed by an observation of his own. I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and devotion. To the flag, our standard, old glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there is respect because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united in common purpose, and that is love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation. One nation meaning so blessed by God. Indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. He wrote, since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our great country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that it would be eliminated from schools, too? Now, in your program, on the back of your community song, you'll see a flag and the words to the Pledge of Allegiance. We are free to love this country. We are free to love each other. When we love our country, that same love extends itself to loving kindness to our fellow Americans, whether they're resident in the country right now or not. One thing brings us together, and that is our commitment to the community, to the nation, to the love that we have. And in our founding documents, which prove that all these freedoms that we have were not given by the government, but they are divine gifts. They are only documented in the documents. They are the freedom to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that are our divine inheritance, every one of us, and not just us here in the United States of America. Everyone on this planet, every human being, has a divine right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We in this nation are inordinately blessed to have it all written down and to know that these rights can never be taken from us. And so what I would like is, if you are a citizen of the United States, I would like you to please stand and join with me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. And if you are not a citizen, I would like you to please stand out of respect for the nation in which you live. Okay? I'm going to do it just like when I was part of the color guard. Place my hand over my heart and say, ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. All while I was growing up, I always felt like I should say amen at the end of that. And when I went to parochial school, we had a pledge to the cross. And we would say the pledge to the flag and then the pledge to the cross. And so I got it all in together with the amen at the end of the pledge to the cross. They covered also the Pledge of Allegiance. And when I went into public school and we did the pledge, the first day at the end, I said amen. And people just looked at me and I thought, oh, evidently not. But we are free to love. We are absolutely free to love our country men, our country persons, our neighbors, our friends, our community. And you know what else we're free to love? Ourselves. We are free to love ourselves. Nobody can love you more than you, because you are divine love embodied here and now. Other people can act like they love you. They can show you more love than you show yourself. But the truth is, remember this, God is your inner self. The divine is your inner self. You are what God is. You are the creation made of the Creator, by the Creator, with the only thing he had to make anything with, he, she, or it had anything to make anything with, is itself. If I can only make something out of myself, it is a part of me that can never be separated. It's like my kids. They can never be separated from the essence of me that is within them. Even though they live separate lives and, you know, have their own families, there is still a part of me that is within them. It's not a perfect analogy, but it'll work for the moment. There is a part of the divine that is within you. And what do we know about parental love? It never goes away. My kids are in their 40s. You know who they are? My babies. They're my babies. You know, in my memory, I can still smell those stinky diapers. I still see my daughter smearing bean dip on the inside window of the car. Still see my son with the orange dripping all down his little shirt because he thought it would be cool to open the Tri-Medic with a childproof cap and try to drink it. Well, you know, it's a little hole that's not a nipple, so I poured all the way down him. Those are my babies. And they always will be. Even though I love them as adults, even though I am proud of everything they've become, and I look at them and I wonder, God, how did those wonderful people come out of me?
Somehow they did. It, you know, kind of makes me wonder if the divine, were he a man with a beard on a throne sitting there going, wow, how did that Olympic runner ever come out of me? I sit here all day. It is the perfect union of all. I have a story for you. It's in the Science of Mind magazine. Guide for Spiritual Living, Science of Mind. This is produced by our parent organization, by the parent organization, Centers for Spiritual Living. By the Science of Mind Foundation, maybe? Yeah. Okay, so, in these, every month they have daily guides. This one happens to be from April of 2020, and it's written by Reverend Sally Robbins, who is a colleague of ours. She writes, in 1960, Roger Ralph was a sophomore and football player at Middlebury College in Middlebury, Vermont. One Saturday after a game, as he was driving home in a snowstorm, Ralph noticed an older woman struggling to push a young man in a wheelchair on the sidewalk. He stopped his car and offered them a ride home. The young man, Butch Varno, was only 13 years old at the time and had cerebral palsy. When Ralph learned how much Butch loved watching the football team, he promised that he and some teammates would come to his home the next week, drive him to the game, and take him back home. Thus began the tradition of picking up Butch, which as of this writing in April 2020, continues today. Members of both the basketball and football teams pick up Butch and drive him to games. The entire student body has now embraced Butch as a permanent fixture at the school. They escort him to the other athletic events and activities at the college, as well as to his physical therapy appointments or a dinner out. The students at Middlebury College learned a lesson that can't be taught in a classroom. They learned that community means seeing everyone as important. Roger Ralph didn't know he was starting a tradition that day he stopped in the snowstorm to offer a ride. But he changed Butch's life forever because of it, as well as his own. Roger started a tradition of kindness. And as Rumi tells us, your acts of kindness are iridescent wings of divine love, which linger and continue to uplift others long after your sharing. So Butch was not the only one blessed. Everyone who participated received a great blessing, an enormous blessing, because they were bonding, they were in community, they were free to love, free to express, free to allow their love out and see it freely returned. You are absolutely free to love. Given that you are love, it just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Love is a quality of God. Being loving is a choice. Thank you for your time and your attention this morning. Namaste.